G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. Completely packed for work in the weekend, this podcast is brought to you by the new Mazda BT50 SP, the complete package. Today on the show, it's the 6 points. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do that. Let your mates know, leave us a rating, leave us a review, wherever you listen to your podcasts, and let's get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined by Chris Robinson, and we believe we've lost the first one from the show, Xavier Ellis. Yeah, you're in your car. Where have you parked up on your way to your PCR test?
How you doing, Zave?
No, mate, I'm at Butler Reserve in Scarborough. Actually, there's usually a bit to look at here, but there's absolutely nobody anywhere. So there's a man walking a chocolate Labrador in the distance, but that's where I am.
So you thought you were invincible, and now you think you might be not so invincible.
No, I am invincible. No, I was saying to you before you hit record that being a little bit tired doing breakfast radio for 6 years, not that unusual, but in terms of doing the right thing by the community and flattening the curve, I'm going to go get a PCR.
I haven't heard that one in a while, flattening the curve.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've flattened it at 20,000.
Yeah, it's very flat. It's just very high.
It's a high flat.
How's the rest of the family doing, Zave?
Mate, good question. Em's just a bit tired. Again, but was drinking a glass of wine at about 10:30 last night reading a book. So don't have the greatest concern there. Yeah. Ted, my three-year-old, the only reason why we thought he had it, he had a sleep. Like, he went and laid with Em one day on Monday and just slept for an hour. And that's the only thing he's shown. But energy 100%. And Albie, our youngest, had a little spew on Saturday night and a tiny fever. Now they're just whingy because they can't leave the house. So if you're going to get it, try and separate it so that your wife or partner can get it, and then you can take the kids out of the house for a few hours, let the partner or wife sleep. At the moment, she can't sleep because the kids want to play.
God. Sounds great, mate. Sounds excellent.
It's a guy's shit show.
All right, so this is the 6 points, discussing 6 points leading into the round, and then we'll follow up with Hardball Bets, thanks to Tab Touch and the Tab Touch app. But the big talking point already, first one of the weekend this morning. Obviously, woke up to the news that Leon Cameron has decided to resign.
A mutual parting.
Which it actually sounds like, you know, one of the odd cases where it
might well
is.
Be, yeah.
I think jump before pushed. I think Leon Cameron loves the club, obviously, and has gone, look, rather than being forced to make a really hard decision over their best coach that they've ever had, I know they haven't been around long, that he just went in and read the play and read the tea leaves and said, hey, you're going to make the decision, they'll make it for you.
Yeah, and I'll give you a bit of time to go to the market. He wanted to give him time to be the first in line for Alistair Clarkson, maybe.
Yeah.
I've been sounding this out for about 3 years.
The Clarko to GWS. It has been mentioned.
Yeah.
The first port of call, probably the first point we'll get into, is like how you view Leon Cameron and his coaching career. Not that, you know, there's every chance that he gets another one down the line somewhere. Mm-hmm. But what, like, how do you feel he went? He built that club, took over from Sheedy, who was like more of a marquee publicity coach probably than a... Is that harsh to say?
I reckon Kevin Sheedy would say that. I reckon he would say he was there to drum up some noise.
He was the salesman.
Like Kevin Sheedy coaching in the 90s and the early 2000s was brilliant, but not in 2015 or whenever Leon, you know, moved on in. Sheeds was definitely 80% there to drum up noise. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had Choco there.
So I reckon Choco was a bit miffed to not get the gig when Leon Cameron didn't he? He's since gone on to be, he's probably had a much happier life as the kicking gun for hire at every other club.
You're really set on this idea that there's a much happier life out there without being a head
coach. Go wherever you want. Director of coaching, like do your stint at the start and then it gets horrible and go be a director of coaching or like a kicking consultant or something. It's much you live a much fuller and happier life. I'm positive about this.
No. Not a kicking consultant. Because there's a stat that's measured up against. That's the no.
Oh, true. Yeah, no, just a general consultant.
a happiness welfare officer or something.
Yeah, harder to measure.
Go to a good club where everyone's happy. Don't go to a shit club. Go to a good club, and everyone's happy, and everyone goes, ever since Nick Rinn arrived, mate, this guy went all happy.
Don't have any measurable KPIs.
Yeah, yeah.
No, 100% not.
We don't need any
make sure you get a bonus. Make sure the bonuses stay in there, though. If you make a final, your bonuses are there because you're happy.
Yeah, and you do a survey. Just sort of survey the players about how happy they are.
Yeah.
So
before you go, the best thing used to be a survey of the players where you had to put your name to it. Everything was positive.
Yeah.
Just a quick survey. Just put your name in the top corner. And, you know, we won't really look at the names. Yeah, pigs are.
Yeah, yeah. You should have just put someone else's name down, Zave, and then told it like it was.
Luke Hodge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So how do we measure it? Has it been successful or has it not been successful? Because there's two... I guess there's... The way that you can sort of measure it is there's sustained success, which is putting yourself in the window for multiple years, which they certainly did. They've won finals in, I think it was five of the past six seasons.
Only two teams have done that.
Yeah, them and Geelong. And then there's obviously premiership success, even if there's not much success elsewhere, which is something, you know, so the Western Bulldogs have been able to do. But I guess the main knock on Cameron has been success relative to what is perceived as expectation,
The talent on the list.
And the talent on the list. And that's been the knock, is that not that they haven't been successful for that sustained period of time, but there's always been that perception of you should have done more with the talent at your disposal, right?
So I would say 2016 Bulldogs v Sydney, if they play that game 10 times, I reckon the Bulldogs win four. I reckon Sydney win six. I reckon, and they won one of the four, the Bulldogs are premiers. I reckon Richmond beat Giants, and forget the scoreline. It was just a shocking day. But I reckon the odds were probably similar, 4 and 6, and Richmond won one of the six. So, I mean, it could simply be a premiership coach if it was his day.
And the thing with 2016 as well, Zave, on that point, is that we kind of forget how close the Giants were. Yeah, they had the home prelim, and they got, you know, squeezed out by, was it Clay Smith who stepped up in that final? Like, they were so close to making the GF almost before their time in 2016.
What was the prelim Dylan Shield got knocked out?
That was the Richmond.
That was Richmond 17.
That was Trent Cotchin knocking Dylan Shield out in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they came that close. Like, well, I feel like we're really binary in like the AFLs, like success, not success. It's premiership or no premiership. Mm-hmm. But like, if you look at the amount of times they were close enough, like, you have to count that as a success. And it just wore it did its time. Like, and every coach does their time eventually. And funnily, like, we have probably three or four coaches in this same boat this year, where it's coming on about a decade in the job. Like, it's either they're not quite in the window or they're far enough like away from it that a lot of people questioning whether fresh eyes are needed. But I think over the course of the whole thing, Leon Cameron, you have to give him a tick. Not in you've made a premiership, but he did his job.
Agreed. Sometimes that's all you can do. You can just put yourself in the window. And Geelong's a little bit the same. You just keep putting yourself in the window. You hope a bit of luck goes your way so that you can pinch a flag or two. But most of the battle is just giving yourself the chance. And that's what he did.
Oh, mate, pick 8 or 9 other clubs. Do you reckon Carlton would like to have that success, even though it wasn't the ultimate success, or Essendon over the last period of time? I got my years confused before too, 16 and 19, I meant to say. I think that you have to say it's a success. And I don't know, is it just because of the draft picks they've had? See a lot of number ones running around and all that sort of stuff. But also unstabling a little bit, the amount of change that they have every year because they couldn't fit all those high-profile footballers into their salary cap. But look, I think, it's funny too when it's like when someone, my old man was saying the other day, like, sometimes when someone dies, it takes someone to die to say they're a good fella. You're like, oh, yeah, he was a good fella. It's like Leon Cameron, now he's dead. You're like, oh, no, he did a good job.
Yeah, he's
like,
a good coach.
But when you're in the moment, you're like, nah, they need to win premierships. They need to win premierships. You go back and say, mate, they won more than what they lost. They made prelims. They could have won grand finals. Like, they actually were... Yeah, a flip of the coin and a little bit of luck, they probably can win 2 flags.
And just quickly before we move on, how quickly does the game change? So Leon Cameron, runner-up coach in the grand final in 2019, gone. Nathan Buckley, runner-up coach in 2018, gone. Don Pike, runner-up coach in 2017 grand final, gone. That's the past less than five years. Three runner-up grand final coaches all gone.
Oh, God. And just my sort of final point on it, when you consider Leon Cameron and the talent he had on the list and saying he should have done more with it, think about the fact that Gold Coast had exactly the same concessions and look how they've gone.
Correct.
And you measure that up against GWS.
Correct. Could have been much worse.
So the second point of this, doing two on the GWS situation, is the next man in, which we know who's at the head of the queue, Alistair Clarkson. And this is this out of, let's say, what other jobs come are a chance to come up?
Gold Coast.
Well, Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide probably a faint. You know, Port Adelaide, the ship looks like it's turned, but, I mean, if they go on and lose another couple.
It's still to say, yeah, Ken Hinckley, 10 years in the job, like, is it, So would this be the pick of the jobs?
Yeah, I'll tell you what they could do with as well. Obviously, Clarko's the first choice. Ross Lyon, remember when Ross Lyon was asked, if the Carlton job or whatever, if Clarkson was going for it, he just puts his sword down.
Yeah.
I know he's better than me. But they could do with, the Giants could really do with a bit of Ross Lyon mongrel.
Yeah, I think Ross Lyon's past the head coach.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think so.
Director of coaching.
Okay, but I'm just
director
of
coaching. You may be able to sneak him in.
The happiness coach.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? They just need. Like, Ross had a good. They were always hard to play against. And I think that's the thing with the Giants in a lot of the time. They weren't hard to play against. When it wasn't their day, it wasn't their day. You never felt like they were going to, you know, to use the phrase before, to turn the ship around. I don't know. Clarko's obviously number one. But if Ross Lyon landed there, right, then you're probably right. I would be like, well, at least he's going to put in some hard-nosed defensive principles.
That's true. But I think, yeah, well, that kind of coach would be good for them. But you don't think Clarko could do that?
No. Clarko's number one by mile. But what are we going to do? All put a hand up and say Clarko's number one and blow the siren. I'm thinking a different picture.
Sorry, how excited would you be, Zave? Because, GWS already seem to be your kind of irrational confidence team. How much more excited would you be about him if Clarko was there as well?
I'd be a member and probably in the cheer squad.
You'd be the director of wellness.
I'd be.
You'd go in.
Righto, Lockie, out of five, how happy are you? Mate, we're 10 and 10. I'm five. Righto, through you go.
Submit the board report. Where's my bonus?
Who else is fighting around? I don't think they need a new coach, like a first-timer.
You don't need... there's... In terms of the old ones who are still going around, well, Don Pike has been spoken about. He already lives there. He was spoken about a little bit last year when a couple of the gigs came up. As having a big part in sort of Sydney's renaissance.
That's an interesting one. I've got the early, very, very, very early betting market here for what it's worth. So I'll just run through the top
Don't
six
waste
or seven.
Time, do they?
So Mark McVay is the $3 favourite, which seems massive unders.
They can't do the odd line.
It seems massive unders to me. I wouldn't be touching that with your money. Adam Uze at six, Adam Kingsley at eight, Lenny Hayes at eight, Ross Lyon is at 10, Alistair Clarkson's at $13 for whatever that
what
is
do they
worth.
Know? What do they know?
And James Heard is at 26. So I think that's probably about what it deserves.
So look at James Heard's in the same basket as Ross Lyon for me, where like everybody else is, it gets put to the board. Alistair Clarkson gets a rush through.
Mm-hmm.
A fresh coach has a couple of questions about whether they can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
A James Heard and a Ross Lyon has some other questions being asked by different board mm-hmm. members. Like, you've got a fight on your hands to get him in the door.
But sometimes that fight's worth it. Jason Dunstall fought his ass off for Clarkson. He's the only one.
Yeah, but as a fresh coach, like those questions being asked were not the same questions that are going to be asked.
No, I get
James
it. But sometimes the Barney with the board is not a bad thing.
Yeah, no.
Don't get me wrong. I get what you're saying in terms of Hurdy, and he was at Essendon when that all crumbled and stuff. But if you truly believe in your heart of hearts that he's the man for the job, putting him forward and battling for it, I don't think it's a bad thing.
Director of what's he now? Director of leadership. Stay in the job. Stay there.
Director of leadership and happiness.
So some of the other ones, the two ones that we think of over here from a WA perspective, Jamie Graham and Ash mm-hmm. Hansen mm-hmm. are two who sort of stuck their hand up in the early part of this year. So you'd expect them to probably be around the mark.
Well, Jamie Graham was deep into Collingwood, I believe.
Yeah, it was Collingwood, St Kilda. He was around the mark for St Kilda a few years ago too.
Yeah, I think it was Collingwood.
Or was I thinking that because he just was at St Kilda at some point?
No, he was at St Kilda. I think it was Collingwood.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think he flew over to present, yeah.
I'll jump in with my next one at the moment. So there's a black player in the VFL who can't
get in. How many have you got?
I got one. Well, they counted.
Mate, I'm dying here. I've got a fever, and I'm listening to you rattle off more points than you've had on dinner.
Well, those two were just general points. All right, you go. Go for your life. You're up,
Dave. No. I'm all ears.
I'm out. See you later. The one I wanted to mention was Paddy Dow. There's a bit of talk around him today. He can't get into the Carlton side. He's averaging 28 and a goal in the VFL. There's mixed reviews on Paddy along the journey. What do you think he moves? He asked for a move, and who would take him, and what's he worth?
He's worth a.
It's a second rounder.
No way. No chance.
Third,
third, maybe. Yeah. No, I think Carlton would be like, if he was worth a second rounder, you reckon he'd be playing in the resis?
Yeah, this is true. Mm. Yeah, he's a long slide from a number three draft pick.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have to remove the number three draft pick. It almost becomes not irrelevant, but it's a bit of time ago now, really. He's not one or two years removed out of the draft. He's 22. So pick three in the 2017 national draft. So this is year five for him. Bit of a concern that he hasn't been able to squeeze into this team. So his past three seasons, he played three games in 2020, 17 last year, and he's only had the one, I think, as an unused sub this year. I don't even think he's got
a park. Sub, I reckon. Yeah.
So that's a worry. You almost have to remove that reputation because 5 years in, this is what you are now. The draft pick is an indication of what your potential is, but we've got a big enough sample size now to know, well, that's not necessarily lining up with what you actually are.
I just think it makes the deal a little more complicated. If you're the Carlton footy manager or list manager and you're going to the table, in your head you've got this bias to be like, we took him at pick three, we need something back.
Yeah, but who? What other players are drafted around that time at Carlton? Like Sam Walsh is earlier than that, but number one draft pick, later than that, number one draft pick. But, I mean, I think that Paddy Dow, I think he's got to get out. I don't think that he's been developed maybe the way he needed to at the time because a lot of Carlton, remember that patch Carlton where you're like, who the dickens they bought players in from everywhere, the Giants, offshoots. I think it's probably best they just part ways, grab a third rounder. He'll be a better footballer than a third rounder, you'd think, if he gets a good go at it. And maybe somewhere like the West Coast Eagles over here in WA who need somewhat younger talent in, they might be able to make something of him.
Yeah, I was thinking the one that came to my mind was Adelaide. Adelaide could probably chuck another young bloke through the middle.
Yeah, something like that. Adelaide, West Coast. That's about all.
I think North Melbourne. North got enough always, young kids.
But they're always in this conversation, though. North is just perennially entering the chat in these conversations.
They need players. Gold Coast?
Potentially.
But that's just a Gold Coast thing to do. Like, I still can't believe Roy Aiken signed 4 years there.
Yeah, that's right. You can get a good deal out of it.
No way. Just go to a club that needs to start from the bottom for Dow, where he's not fearing for his weekly job every week. Give him, it was 17 games the year before, but he would have thought he was on the verge of being dropped probably five or six times. Go to a club where Simo or, who did you mention?
Adelaide.
Where Nick goes, right, you're playing. Like we want you to play. Mm. Relax, go out there and have fun.
What do you guys, Dave?
Go, Dave. Keen to get into it.
No. And this is a little bit of one that I don't watch the AFLW very much at all. But what is going on with the AFLW? Is it fair to the AFLW girls, the situation that's up in the air? I saw their...
No.
Is it their CEO, is Livingston? What would her title be?
Yeah, she's a head of women's
Nicole Livingston,
football.
Yep.
So she's gone off to commentate swimming or whatever, polo, whatever it is, swimming. What's going on? Is it still a bit of a piss take or what? When are they starting and where's the person who runs the league?
Well, that's. I think they don't even have any clarity about the sign and trade period yet. So there's these free agents moving to new clubs, but in terms of clubs sort of shoring up their lists and those players getting some certainty about next season, they're nowhere near it. So the thinking is that it starts August, and that's what they've sort of floated. Yeah. No, it hasn't been confirmed yet.
August, we're May.
Yeah,
and
August is so close now.
Well, we've learned already that's not going to happen. I think, and the women's players don't. haven't made any noises that they want that to happen either. I think that's being led from somewhere
else. It's been floated a few times. I'll give you the hot tip. The men aren't handing over a cent.
No, and I think it's a bit like, it strikes me as a bit of a tactic. Like you float that to try and get the public to take that tact as well. But also like, oh, why should the women take the men's money kind of thing? Like it's a bit of a, it's like something you'd expect from, Morrison or Albanese in this last stretch. Like it's one of those political things that you throw out to try and win a few votes your way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're kind of taking the piss if they don't have any certainty right now. Like you're in, make the call and move on.
I agree. And the thing with the AFLW as well is a lot of these players need to sort their lives out. As a professional athlete, a lot of these girls are part-timers. They have other things on the side. Like you need to be able to tell them what their plans are for the rest of the year.
It's become a bit of a basket case, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's almost at the point now where if there's not a decision on it in the next, say, fortnight, you almost can't see August happening. Because if we get into June, and then you're about to flick the switch and go, oh, yeah, starting in, 7 weeks' time or 9 weeks' time or whatever,
expect a lot of hamstrings and knees.
Yeah, yeah, that's a recipe for disaster. I wanted to talk about Mundy for Hundy and whether this is any sort of chance of happening. And before you dismiss it, hear me out. So he's on 360 right now.
Why are we dismissing that?
Oh, are you thinking it's going to happen?
Mate, I think he's averaged the most clearances he's had in 10 years or something. I'm all in for Dave Mundy.
He's going beautifully. Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like the public perception is, 400, it's way too far away. He's turning 37 later this season. It can't be a thing that happens. I think it's totally a thing that happens. Like, he plays on next year, right?
At this point, you'd say 100%. Yes, yeah.
Well, why would he not? Finally, since, 2015, when they made a prelim, he's done 7 or 8 years where it's been a bit of a battle for him. They're right. They're drinking gravy at the moment. Absolutely, he goes again.
Yeah, 100%. And he's not, this is the thing, I think the past 2 weeks have shown that there's no way known that they are just going to try and get him there or he's just going to try and get there. He is still playing terrific football. We saw it with that last clearance against Geelong where he pretty much wrapped up the game. And then last week he had 8 clearances as well against North Melbourne. It's going to be very interesting to see, and we know this is a big talking point with Fife's imminent return and what happens with Freo and their CBAs. Justin Longmuir mentioned this morning a line out of the press conference that's just gone Thursday morning when we're recording this about the possibility of when Fife returns, Fife and Will Brody potentially going forward and having an impact up forward. I think it leaves David Mundy with plenty of that CBA, that midfield time, and he's absolutely showing that he can get there. The margin for error in terms of the numbers and 400, which is, a nice cherry on top. I'm sure he's not going to be desperate to get to 400, but he basically, where he is at the moment with 360, he's got 14 more home and away games this season, 22 more home and away games next season. That leaves him 4 short, so he needs to play probably
2 more seasons.
Yeah, he'd need to play this season and next season and pretty much only miss, depending on how many finals Freo play, pretty much only miss maybe 1 or 2 games. But he has been incredibly durable across the journey, and that's showing no signs of slowing down. So I reckon this is a massive shout.
He has the perfect speed. But I look at Luke Shuey play and I think, shit, he's quick. He's going to a hamstring. Dave Mundy is the pure fourth year. Like, I can't see him pinging hamstrings and stuff. So, mate, I'm all 400.
I like how he gets to pick his battles now too, that last stoppage. He doesn't need to be the man every time, but when he does, he goes, I'll have a go. What are yours, Dave?
Hey, righto, free agency. Now, this is the time of year, getting towards the buys. Players aren't signed, and it was off the article of Horn Francis yesterday, who said he's not going to sign till end of the year or whatever it is. Is it time we get rid of compensation for free agency? The article I was reading, I can't remember the play, it might have been around Tom Mitchell and O'Meara. Hawthorn would be in their best interest to let them go because of the money they'll get, second round picks or first round picks or whatever. Is it time we head towards the American model where you just don't get compensation, you just keep your cash and go get another player?
Yeah, I I think compensation was a little bit weird. It was to get the clubs on board in the first place, but I think the pendulum swung enough that you can just release that. And then you lose the clubs whinging they didn't get the right compensation.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for it. And while we're here, let's get rid of the priority pick as well. You don't just get an extra pick for being rubbish because you've been rubbish for an extended period. Nah, figure it out. So I'm all for it. Yeah, I'm all for it. It's the way the cookie crumbles, guys. If you're not good enough to keep your players, and if you're not good enough to consistently finish down the bottom of the ladder, your reward for that, in inverted commas, is whatever draft pick you get. And it's better than most leagues where it becomes a lottery and you're not entitled to the number one or number two pick if you finish last or second last. Yeah, that's all you
but
get.
But it also encourages trading. Like, rather than them sitting there going, oh, I'm just going to... Like, the deal's already done for players. It's probably 50% of those that are leaving, those deals are already done. Yet, no worries, I'm coming. Just hold your horses. Mm. And at the end of the year, 8 seconds into it, they go, oh, Xavier just resigned. Xavier just went to Adelaide for no pick at all because he's shit. but it's funny. Like, if you've got a star and a club desperately wants him, it's like, righto, mate, you're going in the draft or we're trading for you. And I think trading and keeping your cash is the best thing.
The flip side of that, I would say if they brought that in, I would want to see them up the contract years for draft date. So up into three or four.
Yeah, so it's the same.
That's the payback to clubs is you don't have to worry about these players.
Yeah, I agree with that. This was actually a topic of conversation in one of my mates' group chats a couple of days ago on the back of the Jason Horne-Francis. Yeah.
2 years, not enough.
Yeah, that's not enough. And you look at other leagues overseas, 3-4 years should absolutely be the norm for rookies, for guys coming straight in.
How do you work the financial side of things?
Oh, you can...
They come in on... What, 100? What, does every player sign the same deals for 3 and 4 years?
Yeah, I would say. And it'd be conditional on where you were drafted, I think.
Correct.
So it's like top 10, you get a bigger bump in, let's say. Well, you already get a bigger bump if you're first round, sliding scale down after that.
So Paddy, and I suppose it's a little bit like the NBA. Like, for example, Luka. You know, he's their best player, and on bugger all early days... You got Sam Walsh, so you might get a good couple of years out of Sam Walsh on a basement price, but you know you've got to factor in
in
a year or two. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why they get to make their money when they're out, and it's that bit of a balance for clubs being able to lose people so easily is you get the 4 years out of them or whatever it is. Four or three is probably the right fit.
Well, I think four. Mate, you're 21, 22, sorry. Mm-hmm. You've still got 8 years of footy left in you.
And it just gives a bit of certainty to the clubs drafting you, right? Beyond
24 months. Yeah, I think so. North Melbourne shouldn't be shitting themselves.
Correct. After he's played eight games. Yep, 100%.
Yep. Have we got any left? That's six. That's us done. All right. Well, let's get into...
High Ball Bets. Thanks to the Tab Touch app.
All right, I'll kick it off with... I always like goal-based bets. I'm going Jordy Degoe at least two on Friday night versus Western Bulldogs, paying $2.40.
Don't mind that. I'll stick with Friday night. I'm coming off back-to-back wins, by the way, for Rhino. Rhino, if you're listening, we're getting there. I'm also going in tomorrow night. I'm just taking Collingwood just straight, or Collingwood 1-39 as the upset. A little bit worried about the Dogs. I'll probably still tip them. But Collingwood under 40 is paying $2.80, which I don't mind at all. It's just got that kind of feel where... The Pies just jump them, and there's a few problems with the Dogs over the next few days. So that's what I'm going with. Zave, what do you got?
I've got a ripper. I've got Western Bulldogs, Richmond, Port Adelaide, Geelong, Sydney, and Brisbane Lions all to win, and that's coming in at $12.66.
Right, are you just shooting for the stars?
A little six leg multi.
Just trying to tip the entire card of the weekend. Did you have Melbourne in there?
No, I didn't have Melbourne in
you
there.
You don't feel like adding Melbourne
Doesn't
for
add
a bit
of value.
$1.02 value just to sneak it up a tiny bit, or do you think West Coast are a chance?
No. I'm sure. No, I don't think West Coast are a chance.
Just chuck it in for value then.
No. I'll put $1.05 shots in for value too, and it's absolutely arse-ended me. No, it's not going in. They'll win, and I'm sure they will win. But what happens if, I don't know, they all get food poisoning and then they're playing waffle players themselves, Melbourne? No.
There's always a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance the Eagles might win.
I'm out. Goodbye.
We need it a back page tomorrow. Eagles can win it.
No, shut it down, you fool's head.
All right. That's Hardball Bets. Thanks to Tab Touch app. And this has been the Hardball Gets AFL show. Completely packed for work in the weekend. This podcast was brought to you by the new Mazda BT50 SP, the complete package. We'll see you next time.